Welcome to The Wonder, exploring perspectives, rituals, and observances of modern, naturalistic, earth-revering, pagan religious paths. Here are your hosts, Yucca and Mark.
Welcome back to The Wonder, science-based paganism. I'm your host, Yucca, and this is Mark. Welcome, Mark.
Hi, everyone.
And this episode, this week, we have arrived at Beltane or May Day. We're going to be talking a little bit about what does that mean to us? What is that in our climates and how do we celebrate?
Yes, indeed. In the traditional understanding of seasons from Europe, this is actually the beginning of summer, mm-hmm. amazingly enough. Instead of being the middle of spring, which is why we call the summer solstice midsummer rather than the beginning of summer. The theory, I guess, is that at the time when these decisions were being made about what to call things, May was when things finally stopped freezing. And that was close enough to summer that people could go outdoors and not be filled with cabin fever anymore, and they could go out and celebrate and have a good time.
Yeah. Well, what is May for you? So you're in the Pacific Northwest, right?
Well, not the Northwest. I am north of San Francisco by about 60 miles.
Okay, so Pacific, yeah, so, but.
Yeah, not, the Pacific Northwest would be more like Oregon, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
However, the great band of softwood forests that extends from the Pacific Northwest down the coast of California extends to where I am. So in the western part of the county, it's primarily redwood trees.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you go inland, it becomes more oak, chaparral, and grasslands, very dry in the summertime, but the magnificent kind of heritage oak trees. At this time of year, the hills are green, which is beautiful. And there are particular wildflowers that are characteristic of this time that I always associate with May Day celebrations and Beltane festivals that I've been to. Particularly, there are wild irises, purple irises, and cream-colored irises that are just very beautiful, and they pop up out in unexpected places. And it's just, it's very beautiful to see these dramatic, colorful flowers coming up out of the grasses.
Beautiful. And are your rains pretty much finished for this year?
They're mostly stopped by this time. We might get a storm in May, mm-hmm. but that would be about all. And then the tap really shuts off until November of the following November. It's quite unusual for us to get much in the way of rain during that dry window of time. As I conceptualize the wheel of the year in my area, there is a golden time and a green time, and they're roughly 6 months each.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it depends on how much rain we get in a given year, and we have been subject to drought. But those distinctions still generally hold. Mm-hmm. That we have a time when it's rushed, when it's lush, and the creeks are all thundering and roaring, and then we have a time when it's much more dry, and you have the scent of dry oak leaves and bay leaves, and just a very different kind of experience.
Wonderful.
How about yours?
Well, May is that month where things can change very quickly. This time of May, the beginning, we're still freezing. Our last frost isn't until the 15th, or average last frost.
Wow.
So the weather is tempting us to get outdoors and put all those vulnerable little seedlings in the ground, but it almost always ends up freezing them. And we have the fruit trees that people dearly want to make fruit, but they just have planted the wrong kind of trees that are in bloom right now with all the beautiful pink and yellow flowers. And about maybe one every 3 or 4 years, they don't freeze. So, but the world is waking up. It really is spring for us now.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the days can start to get a little uncomfortably hot. And you got to start watching that you don't get sunburnt. But then we dip back down at night because we are such high elevation. We're 7,000 feet here. So we can have the real extreme swings.
Yes.
And then the very little cloud cover, very few bodies of water. So that also contributes to the big swings in temperature. But it's just a beautiful time, and things are there. They haven't quite started greening yet. We only really green during our monsoon season, which is in the summer. We'll get some rain. We'll get like maybe a 3 month period of rain, but it's starting to hint that that's going to happen. And sometimes end of May, beginning of June, we'll get hailstorms. We'll get pretty big hail as well. But
that's exciting.
Yeah. It hurts too, though. You got to run inside when it happens.
And not so great for your car either.
Not great for your car. Not good for the annual garden. If I do have things out at that point, like the leafy greens, I'll go and throw a sheet out over them because it'll just poke right through the leaves there. We're fully back outside now, which is just wonderful. You know, windows are open during the day, and it just feels like everything is alive again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything's waking up, and yeah.
I think that is consistent with the traditional understanding about May Day or Beltane, is we're going outside again.
Yeah.
Up until this time in the year, we were planning and we were, you know, creating our tools and, you know, all that good kind of stuff. Now we're actually sowing. We're working in the garden. We're outside. There's an opportunity now to get started on the new cycle.
Yeah. And a sense of pressure too. You know, things have been really slow kind of emotionally, and now it's oh goodness, it's upon us.
Yes.
We've got to get going.
Yes.
And I think for us, the big thing is we have to get ready for those monsoons because we catch our water. We live on rainwater. So, our catchment field isn't ready. So we got to get out there and finish it up because if we miss it there, you know, that's 3/4 of our moisture for the year comes during that period. So better not miss it. Then planting,
that's very high stakes because without water there's not much that's going to happen.
Yeah we could haul it, but I would rather just, it's much easier just to catch it. So
sure
yeah, and have that extra.
So I, when you talk about that urgency, I think that's happening in nature too. And I think that that's part of why Beltane and May Day are associated with young adulthood and with sexuality in the ways that they are, because there's this kind of gotta do it sort of quality that happens in this, in a very teenaged sort of way. Where there's a window of opportunity and it's going to be lost. Mm-hmm. And so there's this rush to fulfill that. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. And I appreciate that explanation because the sort of conventional modern pagan story that has that it's the story of the god and the goddess through their sexuality throughout the year has never quite made sense to me, because it doesn't actually match up with the human reproductive seasonal cycle that we have.
No, it doesn't.
Because people can be born any time of year, but there is a general pattern, and that's usually that we conceive at the end of harvest season.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, we're giving birth during the, so we conceive in the cold time and the dark time, and then we give birth right around harvest when there is plenty.
Right, which makes
and that
sense
doesn't match. That's kind of the opposite of
right
that conventional traditional idea of the Wheel of the Year. So it's I like your explanation of why May is associated, or and swapped for the Southern Hemisphere, why this spring it is associated with the young adult urgency.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that urgency is a real thing, and I think that it is something that is felt by people, even though the reality is that when they're trapped with one another for months in the winter cold, that's when they're going to have a lot of sex and they're going to end up conceiving a lot of babies. That's just yeah. inevitable, because people get bored and they'll entertain themselves however they can. But that urgency speaks to the quality of cabin fever, of having been stuck inside for so long, and the earth suddenly bursting forth with all of this vegetation and flowers and tree blossoms and all of this stuff that just wasn't there, and then all of a sudden it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like the whole world is saying, okay, go do it now. Gotta do it now. Gotta get it going, because it's gonna get dark soon enough.
I have.
So that's a very there's a logic there that makes sense to me in terms of understanding what Beltane is about. The big problem that I have with the sort of traditional pagan goddess and god sexuality thing is that it's so uninclusive.
Yeah.
It doesn't incorporate gay people. It doesn't incorporate genderqueer people. It doesn't incorporate trans people particularly.
Or just variations on anybody, but even the many variations there are on straight folks too.
Sure. Sure. Absolutely. Do I want to say this? Yes, I'll say this. This is an issue that I have with Wicca generally, which is trying to shoehorn too much into these very simplified archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
So all the goddesses, we're going to pack them into a single goddess. All the gods, we're going to pack them into a single god.
Mm-hmm.
And I just don't, the world is so multiplicitous. The world is so full of diverse, strange, particular adaptations to particular conditions
mm-hmm.
that I feel that what we ought to be doing is talking more about, for want of a better term, the energy or the vibe of a particular time of the season
mm-hmm.
rather than, here's a male figure, here's a female figure, they have sex, and then there's fertility. There's just so much more going on in the world than that.
And for me, one of the things I've struggled with that, and some of this I think will be more for, we'll do another episode which dives more into sex and all of that, but that sex mm-hmm. itself, as we see in terms of male and female, is very rare in nature. And we focus on it because it's our experience as humans, and other creatures that exist on our scale that are about the same size as us that we interact with regularly have it. But most life, in terms of the number of species and the length of time, doesn't even male and female sex, this is not part of their existence. They don't reproduce that way.
Right.
Or, and even those that do have sexes, like we start looking at plants, the, you know, all of that starts, is completely different than the way that we experience it. And fungi, that's a Wikipedia rabbit hole to go down.
Yes.
So it, I see it as a way of us really forcing humanness onto the rest of nature. Really just understanding nature as a, in a human way, instead of maybe seeing that there's a lot going on and we're not the center of it.
Yes. And that anthropomorphization, I think, is part of why I don't subscribe to gods as archetypes.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think it's the same thing. I think it's, you know, putting a human face on death is just the human face of death. It's not death.
Mm-hmm.
I think that to truly come into encounter with the stark, realistic, inevitable, and ultimately beneficial fact of death,
mm-hmm,
is something that almost requires it not to have a human face. Because a human face is fundamentally friendly and engaging and one of us. I understand why people create gods and spirits and so forth in their own image. But to me, that gets in the way,
mm-hmm,
of truly understanding what's going on here on planet Earth.
Yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah, no, that's very well said. Yeah, I share that. So back to spring. Whenever we talk about spring and new life, we seem to come back to death. But that's, well, you can't.
Well,
life has to die. You can't talk about
from this sex episode.
Yeah. So, what is your May Day or Beltane celebration look like, and what are you focusing on for that?
That is really such a moving target, honestly. I mean, once upon a time, I really celebrated according to the, you know, the rhyme, hooray, 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 the 1st of May, outdoor sex begins today. So it was an opportunity to go out into a park or into a wilderness place and be with a partner, and, you know, that was great. I'm super fond of a maypole.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such a lovely, lovely thing. And they're old, old English tunes that are intended to go along with the dancing of a maypole. There's one called The Origin of the World that I really love. And the fact that it's called The Origin of the World is fantastic, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just so beautiful. This time of year is very beautiful, and so doing something with colorful ribbons and, you know, people wearing flowy, happy, colorful clothing and all that is, it's just very joyous. And I think that bursting forth, while it has a kind of a scientific and energetic quality, it also has an emotional quality, which is life is living again and it's joyous.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that at this time of the year, I am just looking around and just being happy, being really happy to be alive and to be in this place. And I think that that's what my rituals of May Day are mostly about, more than anything else. They're really about the celebration of the joy of living, and particularly of the body, of the physical body of the earth and the physical body of a person.
Beautiful.
So how about yours?
Well, for us, this second spring period is about that getting going, but it's also the time that we focus on the plants. So for each of the seasons of the Wheel of the Year, we have a different focus, some sort of ecosystem or group of animals or something like that that we are dependent on and tied closely to. So the plants, but particularly the annuals, that early part of succession, that's our big focus, the celebration of the seeds. Mm-hmm. And it's a time when we are doing a lot of the planting, and the things that we're eating are a lot of those early greens. Mm-hmm. Now we're almost out of our, we usually will get a cow or a few animals a year. We're getting real low on that. And so
starting to eat the undesirable parts, right?
But now we're getting to start to eat those, the little turnip heads that are coming up and all of that. And so it's a period of excitement, and it's a period of celebrating that part of nature, that the beginning and the coming in, especially talking about the early succession of the restarting and the process of starting to heal the soil and all of that. And actually, I think maybe I should step back and define that term for folks listening. In our ecosystems, when some sort of disturbance comes through, and that could be a disturbance like a wildfire or a flood, anything that can wipe out the system that was there before. And this is not, disturbances are important. They happen all the time. The systems evolve with them. But when you get that bare ground or that bare soil, there's a whole group of organisms that are adapted to move in there to start to build up the system again. And then it can move towards whatever its climax system is, maybe a mature forest or a mature prairie. There's lots of different examples, but those weedy species that we that jump in there, things that we think of as weeds, are those early succession plants. And most of our crops, our annual crops, come from those weedy species. They're adaptations of those. So it has an important function for the working of our ecosystems. And this time of year, we're really paying attention to that. Where other times of year, we'll be looking at, in the Yule season, honoring the mature forest, especially those the evergreens, and in the late summer, we're looking at the grasslands and that sort of thing. But this year, this time of year, is that excitement of the early succession.
That's lovely. That's really lovely.
Yeah.
I have to say that I am so delighted by your experiment, your project. You're really working to live off the grid and self-sufficient and in relationship to the land. And I can't do that where I am. It's not possible in the work that I do. It's not possible in the area where I live. Surely financially, because California land is impossibly expensive.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I don't think I have enough of a work ethic to do all the things that are necessary in order to be able to be self-sufficient in terms of food and so forth. But having your voice involved in this podcast speaking from the standpoint of someone that is that close to the earth is really valuable to me. So I just want to say that's really great. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I hope that it is. I hope that it's helpful in some way for the folks listening. Yeah.
If it's not, they just won't listen to the next one, which is the sex episode. So you're missing out.
So, yeah. And one thing with the kids that we talked about doing this year, we also love the imagery of the ribbons and the maypole and all of that, but they're still too young to really be able to do that on a coordination level. So an idea that we came up with that we'll be doing is tying little ribbons into our fruit trees that have the flowers on them right now as a good luck, hope you don't freeze. So I had impact with the we'll have the little one who does what our youngest doesn't get, but the oldest does. And she's very cute when she talks to the plants or animals. She's very polite with them. So
that's great. I'm
going, good luck.
Oh, that's adorable. Good luck. Hope you don't die.
Yeah. Or hope you get to make babies. Yeah. The fruits, when they start to develop, we had a lot of apricots last year. They're baby fruits.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Anyway, I think we had both started speaking at the same time. What were you going to say?
Oh, to be honest, I don't remember. This time of year is laden with so much meaning and so much portent because it's the time of year that is, it's kind of the kickoff for this long arc of agricultural activity. Mm-hmm. It culminates at harvest and kind of really shuts down at Hallows or so. And, but it's not thinking about it anymore. It's not imagining what it's going to be like. It's not, you know, sharpening your scythe and your hoe. It's doing it. It's getting out in there and sowing the seeds that need to be sown. That, to me, that's very meaningful because by the time we get to the summer solstice, if stuff isn't in the ground, it's too late. I mean, you can do tomatoes then, but an awful lot of things just take more time.
Yeah, well, there's things you could do for a fall garden, but if what our ancestors would have been experiencing, it would have been a real problem for them if they hadn't got the spring garden in.
Sure, because I mean, what they needed was fields of barley and turnips and rutabagas and things like that that were needed time to grow. If your turnips are the size of walnuts, you're going to have a really hard time come the winter.
Yeah. So if somebody is listening to this later on, and as if it's you are in midsummer, I do want to say there, and you want to do a garden, there still are things that you can plant. You just have to look for your shorter season
for sure.
Crops.
For sure. Yeah. I don't want to discourage anyone from pursuing more of a short-term garden cycle. But once again, when it comes to this season, there's just that urgency. There's like, do it happening in the world right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's great. I mean, I trying to remember, I wrote a poem a long time ago and I don't remember. It was called The Women of April. And I was sitting in a cafe drinking coffee. And the upshot of this poem, I don't remember it to quote it, but the upshot of this poem was realizing that I was growing older and that that moment of urgency had come again. And the last line was, I wish I had had the confidence. And to me, that's kind of what this is about. It's like, have the confidence to seize the day in May, because the train leaves the station. You don't have the opportunity to go back and reset the clock to May again if you're not on top of it.
Yeah. And we see that all over in the ecosystems.
And the biosphere, nature, is nothing if not opportunistic.
That is life.
Yes.
You know, ask really your biologists are back and forth about what the definition of what is it qualify to be life or not, but opportunistic, I think, needs to be criteria number one.
I think so. I think so. It looks for a gap and it fills it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. An opportunity for energy in, I'm there.
Yep.
I mean, when you think about the black smoker pipes down deep in the ocean,
mm-hmm.
that are metabolizing iron sulfites in order to live. And then all these strange shrimp crawling all over these things, you know, these incredibly hot pipes in order to eat the bacteria that live around them.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much diversity out there. And the one thing that it really has in common is that it is opportunistic. And it doesn't hesitate.
Yeah.
Seizes the day. We should do a show about humans not seizing the moment. We should do a show about depression.
Yeah. I think
I would love to do a show about depression. Because I've said this before. I've lived with it since I was 7. And there's a lot to be said about it, but there's a unique quality in humans. The only way that you ever see a depressed animal is if it gets put in a cage in a zoo. Then an animal will get depressed, but in its natural environment, they don't get depressed. They're problem solvers, and they go out and they do the problem solving that they need to do. So anyway, something to put on the list.
We should, yeah. No, let's write that down. I do want to put one note in there, though, that I think that you could make a very strong argument that the way that we live today is the same as the animals in a zoo, that we are in captivity ourselves, just from everything from our exposure to sunlight, to the way that our bodies evolved moving, to our sleep habits, all of those things, that it really is, it's like we are living in captivity.
And the bombardment of emotional blackmail that we experience. Oof. The shame, the grief, all of those things are very, very true. I completely agree. And we should talk about it.
We should. Yep. It's on the list. It's been written down here. So that's
there
a real.
You go.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What else would we like to speak to on May Day or Beltane, spring, beginnings, urgency?
Well, I don't know. Maybe this is my prejudice having been brought into paganism through those more traditional god and goddess sexuality sort of gateways. But I think there's an audacity to May Day. I think May Day demands that we do stuff that's a little outrageous, that we take some risks. I can't think of any other time of the year that is as much about that. This is the time to assert, this is what I'm going to grow.
Yeah.
This is how I'm going to be. And I think that is a central theme of what I would fold into a May Day or a Beltane celebration this year for sure, even though it has to be all separated and done by Zoom. And that's hard. You know, we talked about this in the last episode, but I don't think we really acknowledged just how challenging it is for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a difficult thing to be so sequestered from one another for so long. You know, I'm doing Zoom conferences with friends, and it's great. We schedule them and we see each other's faces and so forth, but I don't get to hug them. I don't get to be in the physical presence of them.
Yeah.
I kind of feel that there's a sort of body awareness thing.
Yeah, beyond just the body language, but the things that we're unconsciously picking up on, the smells and I suppose this is body language as well, but you know, the how close do they move? How do they, all of those things that.
Yes.
Yeah.
And all of that is communicative. It all says something about what our relationship is and how they feel about me and how I feel about them. And we lose a lot of that through mm-hmm. video conferencing.
Yeah.
And I'm super grateful that we have it.
Yeah, I mean, there's some incredible, we're right now, as we're recording, we're speaking face-to-face as well. So that gives us a more natural conversation than if we were just on the phone.
Yes. Yes, and it's such an odd thing. I don't know where I was going.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it is this time of year in which we're receiving the signals to go out, to be doing, yes. to be beginning, and yet we're needing to stay home, to stop. So many of the places that we might go, like the parks and the trails and all of that, to be outside, they're closed for
yes,
good reason, right? It's incredibly important that this is what we're doing right now. I mean, it's the difference between hundreds of millions of lives and not,
right? Right.
So but just because it's important and meaningful doesn't mean that it doesn't also have the other consequences.
Sure, it has cost. Right.
Yeah,
it's painful.
And
I know that our listeners are experiencing this as well. My impulse when the weather is nice like this, especially after a long, dark, rainy, wet time, my impulse is to take my clothes off and go outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to do. I want to find somewhere where I can get away with it. I want to take my clothes off and go outside.
Yeah.
And I mean, in the context of our mainstream culture, that may seem like a really radical thing, but to me it just seems like a very normal human thing.
Well, yeah, but just from the functioning of your body, it's a fantastic. You need that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Get a huge hit of vitamin D and a big wave of serotonin, and so it makes you feel happy and it's healthier for you. And you know, I'm a pallid white guy, so you know, I take on a little color, and all of that is just so beneficial.
Yeah.
And just to feel the sun on your body is such a powerful thing. I mean, to me, that's a deeply pagan experience.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling of sunlight, you know, warming your body, because if there's anything that's real, it's the earth and the sun. If there's anything that are obligated to have a relationship to, it's the earth and the sun.
Yeah.
And yet I'm not doing that. I could do it in my backyard, I suppose. But even then, I'm worried about knotholes and stuff. I've got neighbors on both sides,
yeah.
You know. And it's not like I'm a bashful person, because I'm not. But
we do have cultural expectations. And
of course, I don't want to offend anyone else.
Yeah.
I sure don't want to create a problem with my landlady. You know, so
yeah,
it's frustrating.
Well, and for many of us, that's also a safety issue, right?
Yes.
As a female, as a feminine presenting person, that would be very dangerous for me in any sort of, yeah.
Yes. Understood. Understood.
But, Some sunlight is going to be much better than none. So
yes,
just getting out there. I think I've talked about this before on the podcast, but one of the things we do is sun time and star time. So getting outside for 5-10 minutes during the day. And then during the same at night, although if you can only do one, that day is, especially if you do it early in your day, in terms of what that's going to do for your sleep, for your internal clock, for your mm-hmm. hormonal cycle, so important. So if you can get outside, turn your face towards the sun, and even if you live somewhere that's cloudy, there's way more light there than you think there is, because our brains, they adapt. So we, it makes it seem like it's the same lighting to us, but it's not. You take a lux meter between the two environments, and it's very, very different. So,
well, and as people descended from Europeans, where it's generally gray and drippy a lot of the time, mm-hmm. we're adapted to the foggy weather, the foggy light, I think.
Yes. Meaning that when you say we, as in the two of us who have...
We're pasty.
Yes. I do not tan. I turn red. Or all of my pigments concentrated in little freckles, and I might get so many freckles that they start to blend together, but tanning is physically not possible for me. So that makes living in a desert fun.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah.
Not adapted. The people who were adapted to live in that environment, they were kind of brick red people. They are brick red people. Yes.
Yeah. So.
So, okay. We open the door and take a deep breath, and it's suddenly May, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And the plants are raging up out of the earth. And the flowers are blooming on the trees.
The arthropods are awake.
Yes, yes. It's finally warm enough for the invertebrates to manage and start scurrying about and doing their thing. And to me, that is the moment to step out into the world. And I imagine doing it without clothes, but you can do it with clothes, and say, this is what I'm going to do this year. This is the growth cycle of what I'm going to do. So for me, that's about a new book. And we'll see how that comes along. I don't necessarily think that it's going to happen in one cycle. But I definitely want to kickstart it, not in terms of kickstart.com, but in terms of just generally kickstarting. At this time, I want to have more focus on the product of what this cycle of time is going to mean.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage all of our listeners to do that. You know, wake up early one morning and open the door, take a deep breath, step outside, and know what it is that you're going to stand for and you're going to seek to accomplish in this coming year.
And whatever environment, whether you are rural or urban, you know, the urban environment, that's part of nature too.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Everything on earth is part of nature. And if you have an opportunity to go to a maypole ritual, well, do that. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun and it's pretty. I mean, the flowing ribbons and the colors, it's really beautiful. But if you don't, that's okay too. Or you could organize one.
Mm-hmm.
You could do one yourself. I am actually saving money at the moment to buy a new giant telephone pole from Home Depot. Because I had a redwood sapling that had been taken down and it's full of dry rot now. It's no longer usable.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I just feel like I should own a maypole. it's one of those things, you know, I feel like.
How tall is this that you're thinking of?
It's 12 feet.
Okay. Do you have any 12 foot rooms?
No, I do not have any 12 foot rooms.
Okay. But I do not want to discourage your dream, but I just want to ask some practical questions about
that. I'm not planning on keeping it inside. I'm planning on keeping it outside.
Okay.
So it would lean up against the fence in the backyard. The question becomes where to plant it, because my yard is not that big. And it's kind of hard to sneak a 12-foot telephone pole into a park and dig a hole and do a thing, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to try.
Mm. Well, I look forward to seeing photos of this.
No, it won't be this year. For sure it won't be this year. Yeah.
This is a different year. So.
It is indeed. Well, Arwen, it is such a pleasure to have a conversation with you again. I really enjoy doing this with you.
Likewise. Yeah, this was wonderful. And we do have an email that folks can send questions to. And Mark, what is that address?
That is thewondercues@gmail.com. And we've actually received a couple of good suggestions for episodes that we will definitely do. The Wonder Podcast QS at gmail.com. And, you know, send us your feedback, send us your suggestions. If there are things you don't like about the podcast, please let us know about them, because we want to improve it and have it be as good as it possibly can. In the meantime, I wish you the merry month of May and all of the things that entails. It's for many centuries, for at least 1,000 years, people have celebrated May as this glorious time of release and freedom and celebration and expression. And I hope that you have all of those good things with you.
And join us next week for what I'm sure will be quite fun episode.
You bet.
Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Yucca. Bye-bye.